Welcome into another edition of the Smoke Show podcast on Sikkim365.com, where each week we talk to former Baylor players about what they're doing these days, as well as their thoughts on the current team. Craig Smoke with you as always, and this week I am joined by former Baylor wide receiver Pooh Strickland. And Pooh, how you doing, man? What's going on in your life these days?
Doing good, man. Just got off work, trying to get the boys right for another playoff win. So, I mean, life's good.
Now, as far as the boys and getting to work, what is your current occupation? What have you been doing since hanging up the cleats?
Well, I hung up the cleats in May of 2019 after graduation, and I got a job personal training. Stayed there for a little bit, and after that, I got a wake-up call, and, man, it was a blessing. I'm out here coaching in Mahaia, Texas now, and we're second round in the playoffs, baby.
Yeah, you very much are. That's been a fun story. And, you know, Mahaia had its struggles in years recently, but you guys have been on quite the tear this season. To be involved with a team, be around a team, and see them making this type of a push and now, you know, get ready for a second-round playoff game, what's that been like for you?
I mean, like, you know, it's been a blessing to me to have played the game and try to show these guys, like, what all I've been through and what all I experienced. And I mean, just being a part of the journey, man, it's a blessing. You know, the Mahaia history, you know, it's been a while since Mahaia has been past the second round of playoffs. So, I mean, it's a lot of pressure, but the boys are hungry. You know, they want to win and they want to do good for the coaches, man. I mean, it's a blessing.
And you guys have a big challenge this week with Sunnyvale, I know, but I know you're playing also with a lot of confidence right now. And so being a part of that program, you're underneath Frank Sandoval. He's got kind of a Baylor connection in a way because he worked with Joey McGuire, who's obviously on Matt Rhule's staff. So have you and Coach Sandoval traded any Joey McGuire stories, or did you even have any to be able to throw out there?
Oh, definitely. He told me a lot about him whenever he used to coach out in Cedar Hill, and I mean, like, just overall, man, Joey McGuire is a great guy, and I can tell by the way that all the Baylor fans react to when they hear anything about Coach McGuire, they're like, oh my God, he's awesome. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's been a blessing like a lot of the other assistants that have come on board with Coach Rhule. So getting ready for a playoff game, like, what are kind of your responsibilities versus Sunnyvale? What are you being asked to do? And you know, just what's that like, the preparation part, having to wait until this weekend to see the guys back out there on the field?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just asked one simple thing, and that's just to do my job, you know, coach the kids as hard as possible and make sure they're doing everything right, no distractions. That's the main thing, no distractions. So just making sure the kids are ready to go and making sure they're watching film, making sure they're studying their opponent, and just getting ready.
Now, you mentioned starting off as a personal trainer after you wrapped up your football career and then going into coaching. Was coaching something that always was on your mind? Because the personal trainer role is kind of in that same realm a little bit, but was coaching always something that you were looking forward to doing eventually?
Yes. When I say coaching has always been a part of the plan, it really struck out whenever I was sitting out, I think, in 2017 against Oklahoma State at home, and I had to sit out that game, and you know, I was alongside Coach Frizz, and he was like, man, just do what you do best, you know, encourage these guys, make sure they're playing hard, and you know, just kind of coach them up on whatever you see. And you know, he gave me the opportunity to experience it a little bit, and you know, I thank him every time I see him for that. And that's what really got the spark going into coaching. And personal training, I mean, it was great. But, you know, I like it better when, like, I just see everybody playing football, you know. I love personal training, don't get me wrong. But coaching is what I really wanted to do.
Well, that's awesome that you're getting an opportunity to do it. And also with a great head coach and a great staff and obviously a really good program as well. You guys still alive in the playoffs. When you made the decision to stop playing football, it's not even been a full year yet. I mean, you just did that earlier this year. But do you still get that itch when you're watching on Saturdays or Sundays? Does that still get you a little bit that, you know, you wish you were still playing? Or was that already just so far behind you that it made that decision easy?
It was kind of a bittersweet moment. You know, I wasn't I wasn't really ready to be done playing, but, you know, God had another plan for me. And so, you know, I just dove into it head first, and, I mean, it's been a blessing to me. So, you know, I just don't regret any decision that I made. But at the same time, yeah, I do miss being out there sometime with the boys, man, because we had plenty of good memories together, you know, grinding during the summer and during the winter, you know, getting bigger, getting stronger, getting faster. I mean, like, you just come back to all that and, like, you just kind of reminisce a little bit.
So I know you got to be thrilled with what you've been seeing from the team this year, the 9-0 start, Pooh, and then last week, obviously, against Oklahoma, they let one slip away, had them on the ropes. But, you know, with teams like that, I mean, you got to finish, and Baylor's been finishing in every game except for this last one. To see this run that they've been on here, even with the game last week not going the way they would like, but to see the run they've been on, I mean, you were a part of that first year and how hard that was, and especially for a guy like you who had experienced so much success previous to that, to go through that grind, go through last year, and you guys make a bowl game, you win that bowl game. I've had a lot of other players tell me that kind of propelled y'all into this year, but to see the start they are off to and the fact they've got a chance to go play for a Big 12 title, I mean, as a former player and somebody who was there recently, what's that mean to you?
I mean, oh, man, that means a lot. I mean, that just means the guys are just hungry. You know, they wanted more than anything. I mean, and Coach Rule did a great job of just, you know, coaching us up, making sure we're doing everything right, keeping us out of trouble. You know, he's doing everything right. And the one thing that I really love is that the guys never give up. No matter what the circumstance may be, they never get up. We always fought. And that's the one thing that he taught us, never give up on anything. Like, always keep fighting, always keep pushing. You can always get better at something. And that's what the guys are doing. And, I mean, just to be fighting for a Big 12 championship after, I mean, if you look at it 2 years ago, like, we went 1-11. I mean, it's a blessing, man. I mean, Coach Rule has literally changed that whole program around, and, you know, I tilt my hat to him.
You got brought in during the heyday, so to speak, when everything was operating on full cylinders, and as we mentioned, we had to go through that grind of all the transition. What were your first impressions of Matt Rule? Because you'd gone from Art to then Jim Grobe, and now here comes another new guy, and I imagine that's got to be really difficult for the players to have that much change. But what were your first impressions of him, and as you got to know him, what really stood out to you about Matt Rule?
I mean, my first impressions was, like, you know, he was a good guy. He changed the Temple program around. You know, we did a little research about it, and, you know, and after getting to, like, know him, play for him, you know, I just realized that he's literally a people's person. Like, he loves pleasing people. I mean, he's a great guy, and, like, once you trust in everything that they're doing, like, everything we had to do, we always had to trust the process. There's a process coming, and you got to trust it. And as long as we stay focused and trust the process and just know that whenever we're rolling on all four cylinders, change is going to come. You don't always adapt to change. Change is hard to adapt to, but that was just one thing that we had to get used to, you know. So, I mean, just adapting to change and just trusting the process, I mean, it paid off big time.
How much does trusting the process, and the process can be a little bit different depending on where you are, but ultimately it's all about the same types of things, but how much of that are you now preaching? Are there any things from either Briles or Grobe or Rule that you implement as a coach nowadays?
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely trust the process. Definitely. Play hard and, you know, just play to win, you know. Have fun. Enjoy it. Like, live it up. Once these days are over, they are over.
You sound like you're having a lot of fun. I mean, that's great, Pooh, because, you know, guys sometimes go off into the real world, start becoming adults after school, and, you know, they find that it's pretty difficult, and I'm sure you found some of those lessons as well, but you sound like you're so happy, man, and I'm thrilled to hear that in your voice. Talking with Pooh Strickland here on the Smoke Show podcast, Sikkim365.com. So they had a big opportunity last weekend. Game day was in town, which, you know, that was another one of those things where you almost wondered, you know, when, if it would ever come back, and yet here it was in almost no time. They had, you know, the big-time opponent, millions of people watching, big-time crowd, the biggest crowd in McLean Stadium history. The one thing that was missing was the result, and it looked like they were well on their way to that. But what were your thoughts on that game last weekend? You face off with Oklahoma. You know how tough they are. Just what'd you think as you watched that game kind of, you know, get away from the Bears?
Just got to finish a little harder, you know. Don't get comfortable. you know, always be ready to work. And I feel like coming out in the second half, they kind of got comfortable because they had a big lead on them. But, you know, they got to stay steady in the boat, keep grinding each and every down, each and every play. Don't take no plays off. And I feel like Oklahoma took advantage of the situation that they were in, and, you know, the results proved it. But the main thing is they just got to stay focused. I talked to the guys after in the locker room, and, you know, they're not worried about that. They're not upset about it, you know. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Absolutely. Talking with Pooh Strickland here on the Smoke Show podcast. They have this incredible ability to just be able to clear it and move on to the next one. Do you have any concern, however, about even with that what's next mentality, just some of the emotional, and even because of how physical that game got, how long the defense was out there, any concern on your part about them being able to bounce back this weekend against Texas?
Oh, no, sir, not at all. I mean, the guys are hungry. I talk to them each and every week and, you know, try to catch up on what's going on down there. So, you know, they kind of keep me in the loop a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're hungry. They're ready for that title, and I feel like they deserve it, man. They definitely deserve it. They put in a lot of work. All they got to do is just play and get it.
Who are some of the guys you're still closest with that are on the team?
Oh, definitely the receivers. GMB, baby.
Absolutely. You got to stick with the receivers, right?
Yes, sir. Talk to all the guys, bro.
Yeah, I bet you do. Well, one of those guys in that receivers room is Denzel Mims, who I know you know well. He's having a fantastic year, Pooh. And Matt Rhule talked during the offseason about, you know, sometimes just the one thing with Denzel, it's never been talent. It's never been his size. It's never been anything other than just him, his own confidence in himself. And so that was something that they really have, you know, worked on with him. And I think it's shown, like, he almost embraces the big-time moments and having to be that guy to make a catch and thrives when that happens. But what have you seen from just him, you know, knowing it's his final year? Got, I think, close to or right at double-digit touchdowns. He might get to around 1,000 yards, but obviously they're not, you know, scoring at a prolific rate like they once did. But what have you seen from him in his final season in a Baylor uniform?
Oh, man, I mean, like, he's just giving it his all, you know. He's doing whatever he can or whenever he can or however he can to get this team a win. And, you know, I salute my hat to him, because I told him once I left, I was like, man, you're going to have to step up in a big way. Like, these guys going to lean on you, man. They need you. And, you know, he answered it, you know. And I feel like he's been working hard, and he's been grinding.
Did you ever notice sometimes with him that maybe that confidence was lacking? And was that kind of crazy to you, just seeing, like, how talented that dude is? But, you know, that's sometimes how it works, is that the person with the talent doesn't always – you know, realize that the talent that they have.
Yeah, and you know, we used to always tell each other that, you know, I see a lot of stuff in you that you don't see in me, or you don't see in yourself, you know, but you got to trust what we're saying, and, you know, just trust that you're better than this, like, you can get over this. And I feel like he did a good job, but he never really lacked confidence. But, like, whenever he drop a ball, you know, it'll be like, hey, man, I just dropped the ball. He has, like, try to hang his head a little bit. But, you know, everybody drop balls every once in a while. You know, it's not a big deal. What's next? Move on. You can't worry about one play, because it's going to affect the next play, and it's going to affect the next play. You know, you got to clear it.
Right, absolutely. With the rest of the receivers, you know, I kind of wondered, I thought you were going to be a big-time weapon for them this year, because in your moments last year, it always seemed like you were making a big-time first down catch or something down the field. And so then you left, and, you know, they had Denzel coming back, and Tyquan flashed last year, obviously. But, you know, a lot of young receivers still in that group. RJ has emerged there. So looking at a couple of those young receivers, your thoughts on Tyquan Thornton and what you've seen from him now in his second year, and also from RJ Sneed, who are kind of the two and three complementary pieces to what Denzel does?
Tyquan, you know, he's a – we knew coming in, man, he was a speedster, man, and he showed nothing but confidence at practice and nothing but confidence in the game. I mean, like, I trust him absolutely. I do. RJ Sneed, I mean, I told him he had to take – he had to take over my reputation, man. Best fans on the team, and he's doing that, definitely. And he stepped up in a big way, especially after his injury. You know, most people are a little timid trying to get back into the groove of things. But, I mean, he dove in head first. He's grinding, and, I mean, it's showing up.
Now, have you checked around to make sure that he's got the best hands on the team and that he's living up to that reputation?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, they're on those jugs machines a lot. It looks like I've seen a couple videos and a couple pictures of him and or both RJ and Tyquan. For Tyquan, was it strange at all? Not maybe strange isn't the right word, but being a young man from Miami, I mean, I don't know how many of the guys on the team really would have been, you know, really familiar with him versus maybe some guys that y'all grew up with or knew of from playing Texas high school football. Did it seem like it was a tough transition for him coming all the way from Miami to Waco and playing right away as a true freshman?
Not at all, man. That guy right there, Tyquan, is a freak athlete, man. He wants to play ball, and when he's rolling, he is rolling.
Yeah, he is a tremendous player, and he's got a pretty good player that's throwing to him there at Charlie Brewer. He was the first one off the field on Saturday night because he threw that pick, and I know he had to have been upset by that. You know, not all that rides on him, obviously. There was a bunch of plays that could have been made in that game that would have changed it. But, you know, Charlie, to the outside world, Pooh, is a very quiet guy. You know, he doesn't say a ton to the media. Every once in a while, you can kind of see a crack in the armor, so to speak, but I'd imagine he's different in the locker room and behind the scenes. So for those that don't know Charlie Brewer on a personal level, what could you say about him just as a person, but also as a guy who, you know, is leading the charge there at quarterback?
I mean, Charlie Brewer, like you said, I mean, he's a real quiet guy if he don't know you, but like if he know you, man, he's quite funny, you know. He's a jokester, he likes to play around, and you know, he's a people's guy if you know him. But the one thing I can say about Charlie, man, he is a tough guy. He's a tough guy with a strong heart, man. And he wants to win like nobody else. I mean, he will never give up. He will do anything he can to get a W. Mm-hmm. He has heart of a lion. He has a heart of a lion.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I thought when they got the ball back, even though there was like less than 2 minutes left, and given the way games have gone this year, I really thought they were going to go down and win that game, Pooh, or at least they were going to get close enough to be able to kick a field goal and send that game to overtime, which I would have liked their chances in there. But, I mean, I think we've almost become conditioned to him just leading that game-winning drive, you know? And that's just not always going to happen, but that does speak to the things that you're speaking of. I guess when Charlie Brewer is your quarterback, you always feel like you have a chance, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, definitely. I mean, whether it's him throwing a ball or whether it's him making a run, you know, you never know. He's just a tremendous player. I mean, he's very smart when he got the ball in his hands, and you know, he's just a guy that you want the game in his hands.
Now, one thing that has been a big part of their success this year, and this is not something that when you first got to Baylor they were really known for, but maybe it's kind of what they're turning into, and that's defensive play. And I know in that first year with Phil Snow, those guys, I mean, they're trying to learn these thick old playbooks, and there was just so many different intangibles to the defense and all of that. And so it took a little while for them to grasp what they were being asked to do. But now you see a defense that, Pooh, they just know what they're doing. You know, Terrell Bernard and all those guys, they're just flying around making plays. And it was a rough night on Saturday because they just could not get off the field and got worn down. But when you saw the early stages of that defense to what it is now, I know that none of us who aren't a part of it will ever really grasp how difficult that transition was. But can you speak to, you know, Phil Snow and what he does and all the work that these players on the defensive side have put in to get to where they are now one of, if not the best defense in the Big 12?
Oh, man, it's all about how they practice, man. I'm telling you, they practice, they fly around with a high motor. And, I mean, if you're not flying around at practice with a high motor, I'm telling you, you're off the field. And the guys know that, and they hold each other accountable. They hold each other to high standards. And, you know, that's one thing that Phil Snow preaches about the defense, you know. You got to fly around, got to have a high motor. Otherwise, you'll be on the bench.
I was talking to, I want to say it was Verkedrick, about a month or so ago, and I asked, you know, various guys this question who were on last year's team. But to go from that first season where everybody knows what the record was to then last year and you guys capping off that season with a bowl victory, was there a turning point as far as everybody's buy-in, everybody, you know, just trusting the process? I know some guys might have been on board early on, and then some guys a little bit later on, you know, just to each their own. And then some guys never got on board, and they're not experiencing any of this right now. But was there a turning point team-wise that you saw last year? Because Verkedrick told me he thought it was a Texas game. Would you agree with that, or is there another game that you think that you guys all kind of came together and that was a launching point?
I would have to say it was definitely the Texas game. That was the turning point. And, you know, we kind of like realized something like, yeah, they're good, but, you know, we're good too. Mm-hmm. Like, we all just have to come together at the same time and, you know, just operate on all four cylinders together. You know, you can't do anything by yourself. It's a team effort, you know. So we have to come together as a team, and that's why that Texas game was so close. It hurt after that game. It really did. That locker room, man, it hurt. Like, you can just see it in people's face. You can hear it in the voices. Like, that game really got to us.
Why did that one hurt so bad?
We wanted that one more than anything, you know. And the way we played, the way we started out, and the way we finished, you know, it just came up short.
Now, with Texas, I mean, you've gone up against them plenty of times now. They've got obviously a lot of talent, Pooh. They recruit very well year in and year out. But what is it about going up against Todd Orlando and his defense that you take note of, whether it's the physicality or just the talent level or what? But what was it about matching up with Texas from your viewpoint that was a challenge, you know, or you know, just kind of what you saw whenever you guys would square off?
Yeah, you know, Texas, their biggest thing is always trying to out-physical their opponent, you know, and play faster than their opponent, but we weren't going to allow that to happen. And, you know, it kind of did a little bit, but then, like, after halftime, it kind of shifted to where we were like, no, we're going to fight back. You know, we're not backing down from this challenge. Like, y'all want to be physical? We can be physical, too. We practice physical just like y'all practice physical.
Did you sense during the game when that switch kind of flipped for you guys, did you sense like kind of an awareness from their side of like, oh, okay, wait a second here. These guys are going to give it back. It's just as good as we're giving it.
Yeah, definitely, you know. And you know, that's just a great thing to see whenever you're rolling and, you know, you see the other team, like their eyes kind of get big a little bit. Like, oh, okay, they're ready to play now, all right. You know, that's kind of a good thing to see.
Now, I know you got a playoff game to prepare for, so I don't want to keep you for too much longer. Your thoughts on Baylor now? They're in this position, Pooh, where they've just got to win one of their next two ball games. Obviously, they've got this, you know, losing streak to Texas, and you just mentioned how important that game was to you guys last year. But, you know, for this senior class, they've got a couple of regular season games left to go, final home game. What are your thoughts on the game coming up Saturday and what you expect from your alma mater?
I say the guys are ready. They're hungry. They know what happened last week, and they're going to use that as a little bit of motivation and, you know, a little bit of fire inside of them. And they're gonna come out flying, playing hard, playing fast. And the one thing I'll just tell them is finish. We got to finish.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Before I let you go, you know, when I've talked to some former players and they're from different eras, whether they played solely for Art or, you know, had a combination like you did of three different head coaches, to hear the excitement in the voice of players, you know, as the season started, maybe not so much because I think everybody was still curious what it was going to look like, but at the same time, excited about the way last year finished. You know, obviously, as they kept winning, the excitement level grew and to where they are right now at 9-1. Pooh, to be at Baylor at a time when you were, when there was such a roller coaster ride, and, you know, quite frankly, there was a big dip there for a year or two period. Just how cool is it as a former player and then talking to other former players to be just so proud of what you're seeing and to be able to kind of pump your chest up as a Baylor football player once again?
I mean, it's awesome, man. Like you mentioned, like going in when we were on top and then the coaching change happened and we kind of slipped down a little bit and, you know, getting back up to where we were. I mean, like, it's a blessing. You know, not many people can say that they've been through that, you know. So just going through that and experiencing that, and I mean, from all three coaches, I've learned so much, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I mean, like, it's been a tremendous journey, and, you know, I don't regret anything. I don't regret, staying there. I don't regret leaving, you know. It was just a blessing for me.
Well, man, it's so good to hear that you're doing well. I remember when I first got to Waco a few years ago and started covering Midway football and got to see some pretty good Panthers teams that you were on there and Jamie Jacobs and, you know, a whole cast of other guys, Ben Hicks, et cetera. And they're getting ready for a playoff game as well. I don't know how closely you still keep up, but they're getting ready for this next round, so we'll see what they can do coming up on Friday night. But Pooh, man, always enjoyed watching you. Loved that I got to watch you go from Midway to Baylor and have success at both places, and just so happy that you're happy, man, and that you found your calling and that you're getting to help out young football players and young men as well, and use the lessons that your coaches passed down to you as well as your teammates. So, man, just keep up the good work. Best of luck to you and the Black Cats coming up this week versus Sunnyvale, man, and we will definitely keep in touch and talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Hey, Pooh, I appreciate it. That is Pooh Strickland, former Baylor wide receiver, here with me on the Smoke Show podcast, Sikkim365.com.
Sikkim Bears.